Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the epistle from the book of Philippians, where Paul's words remind us that it is not good for us to try to imitate the world, that imitating the world just leads to death and destruction. And so, just like I was talking with the kids just a moment ago, it's more important for us to sort out which voice that's speaking to us, which influence comes from Jesus, which comes from God's word, and not from the rest of the world. Now, also, like I mentioned, when we mess that up, we have this promise from God that he will not abandon us and he will not forsake us. We give thanks that he has given us a citizenship in heaven and that we belong to him forever and ever. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, influencers make the world go round these days. If you're the type of person who spends any time online at all, which I assume describes the overwhelming majority of us, then you are constantly being bombarded with content that is intended to influence your behavior, sometimes even though you don't even realize it. And by influence your behavior, I mean most of the time it's somebody trying to get you to spend your money. Now, influencers, if you are not familiar with that term, it's a term you hear a lot these days, but I'll give you just a brief definition of it. An influencer is, these days, an online content creator. So somebody who posts things on social media platforms such as TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and again, I realize that describes a lot of people. That describes a lot of people who are here in this room right now. But the difference is the way that a lot of us use our social media, we are posting things primarily to be seen by people who are already in our social circles, like people who are our friends, people who are our families. Influencers are specifically targeting people who are outside of those circles. They are trying to gain lots and lots of followers. They're trying to build their audience. And the ones that are the most successful are the ones that figure out how to make themselves stand out in some way compared to all the other people who are out there. If you're posting things that are funny, if you're posting things that are entertaining, something that's really interesting that other people might want to share with their friends, then all of a sudden your followers start to grow and your influence then starts to grow. And eventually, there are some people in the world who get to a level where now all of these money-making opportunities start to present themselves. Believe it or not, a recent article that was published in Forbes magazine states that the influencer industry, and yes, that is actually a word that we can use for it now, the influencer industry is worth about $250 billion today. And Goldman Sachs predicts that that number is going to double to $500 billion in just the next 2 to 3 years from now. There is so much money to be made as an influencer. And on the outside, it looks like this is something that is so easy to do. You have these food influencers, these people who review different restaurants. They'll go and they'll buy some meal, and then they'll come back to their car, and they'll turn their phone on, and they'll record their reaction as they're eating that food. And you say, how could somebody make a living doing that? But there are plenty of people who do. There's travel influencers who go to all these amazing places, and they're essentially getting paid to go on vacation constantly. There's gaming influencers who might have hundreds or even thousands of people who are watching them as they stream their video games all day long. And look, you could say, get a life, get a real job. But here's the thing. This is the world that we live in now. This is reality. A recent poll of young adults has actually said that 57% of all Gen Z adults, young adults, 57% have a goal of being a social media influencer of some kind. That's over half of an entire generation. And this doesn't show any signs of stopping anytime soon. Now, the church should pay attention to this. And I don't specifically mean this congregation necessarily, Trinity Hoyleton, but I'm just talking about the church, Christians in general, could learn something from this, could learn how to engage more people with God's word, how to introduce more people to their Lord and Savior. It's not that we have this goal of needing to make lots and lots of money. And don't get me wrong, I know that there already are plenty of Christian influencers out there. In fact, there are, if you look hard enough, there are even some Lutheran ones out there. But there's a whole lot more that could be done, in my opinion, that should be done in order to make it so that the world's influencers, the world's voices, are not the only ones that are constantly dominating the conversations in our culture all the time. It's not easy, especially because we live in a world today that doesn't seem to like to be encountered with the truth, but we know that the Holy Spirit will always lead us and guide us, help the church find new and innovative ways to fulfill that great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And truthfully, this whole concept really isn't as new as it might seem. Maybe the idea of a social media influencer might be a relatively new thing, but influencers in general have been around for a long, long time. And by that, I mean just anybody who happens to have an audience, anybody who happens to have a following of some kind. Let's take another look at this epistle reading for today, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Paul says this in verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. I mean, could it get any clearer than that? Paul basically just said, smash that like button, subscribe to my YouTube channel, give me a follow, give me a share. Paul wants his hearers to follow his example. And I want to be super clear about this because I know how a verse like that can sound. And I want you to be assured, Paul is not saying that out of sinful pride. He's not saying that because of his ego. There's a really important detail for you to understand about this letter and the context of this letter, that Paul was actually writing to the Philippians from a jail cell toward the end of his life. Paul had been persecuted for his faith. He had his freedom taken away from him. So what he's really trying to say here is not look at me. He's not saying look at me and do what I do because look at how my life is so perfect and if you just follow these few things, your life is going to be perfect like mine too. Paul is writing to people who are also experiencing persecution when he writes this letter. Because as you may know, Christianity was not extremely popular in the Greco-Roman world in the first century, and certainly that's true in the city of Philippi as well. There was so much pressure on the Philippian Christians to just give up their faith, to simply conform to the ways of the world. There were so many voices encouraging them to do things like abandon Jesus and embrace the pagan Greek nation that they lived in. And so Paul is attempting to use his influence in this letter to essentially say, hey, don't fill up your algorithm with a whole bunch of worldly stuff, because it's not worth it in the end. Follow me for more tips on how to remain a faithful Christian in the midst of persecution. That's basically what Paul is saying. Which by the way, yes, that means that if you were to imitate Paul, at least in those days, you might end up in a jail cell like Paul. But the alternative is much, much worse. And Paul points that out too. So verse 19 tells us about those who follow the influence and the influencers of the world. He says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with their minds set on earthly things. That's ultimately what the world's influence leads to. When a person ignores God, neglects his word, only lives for the here and now, ultimately there is no hope in that at all. Worldly things don't last because, let's face it, this entire world isn't going to last. Not in its current state, anyway. So let's not put all of our eggs into this earthly basket. Even if sometimes it seems easier to live that way, easier to live the way the world wants rather than to live the way that God intends, we shouldn't do that. At the same time, I'm not suggesting that we should abandon the world, and I don't think Paul is saying that either, as if we're all going to just form our own little group, our own little monastery, and live like monks away from the world, ignoring the world, hiding from the world. That's not what he's saying here either. There needs to be a balance. Christians need to be in the world, but Christians are not of the world. That's the clear path forward. It's just really hard at times for us to find that balance. Just within the last few days, as I sat down to start preparing this sermon, I noticed some things come up in my own algorithm that might look and sound Christian, but ultimately are things that have been influenced by the world. I see Christian influencers who clearly believe that part of evangelism means that you have to get everybody around you to align with you politically. And I see that on both sides of the aisle. Getting faith mixed in with politics to the point where you think that people who don't vote the same way that you do may not even be Christian. Or another example would be when I saw, this was yesterday, I saw a TikTok of a Christian influencer who was suggesting that worship is not necessary. That worship, corporate worship, does not matter. That really, as Christians, we should have the freedom to just do whatever else we want to do on Sunday morning, and to suggest to somebody that they ought to be in church is just something that you only say out of sinful pride. The TikTok conveniently didn't mention that God does give us a third commandment to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. There are plenty of examples out there like this, but my point is that even us as Christians, we are not immune to the world's influence. Clearly, we all need to hear Paul's advice here in Philippians chapter 3. And again, Paul's words are not really about Paul. Just like anything else that matters and is worth listening to, ultimately, this is all about Jesus. In verses 20 and 21, Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. In the end, the only influencer that we really need to hear from is the influencer, with a capital I, Jesus himself. And by the way, he's got more of an audience and more followers than all of the world's top influencers combined. His life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven have given us a whole lot more to cling to than just a bunch of tips on how we are to live, or life hacks, or how we should spend our money, or any of those things. When we belong to Jesus, his influence makes it so that all those worldly things don't matter at all. They don't matter to us because we belong in his heavenly kingdom. In fact, he's rescued us from this world. He's rescued us from this veil of tears so that we don't have to dwell in it forever. So we always live as people who have one eye focused forward to eternity, to the day when the world will be made new, to the day when we will be made new too, bodies and souls forever and ever. That's how we get to be imitators, not of Paul, but of Christ. Jesus has already shown us how to suffer, how even to die. And that's what we spend our time during this Lenten season reflecting upon. But he's also shown us what happens next. He's shown us his resurrected body. And by doing that, he's shown us what it's going to be like for us someday too. Where he goes, we will follow. And not only will we follow, but we'll also like and subscribe and share until the whole world is influenced by the influencer, Jesus himself. In his most holy and precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. And at this time we will sing the offertory, which is on the bottom of page 192. Seated, and at this time I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. In our prayers today, we do have a number of prayer updates for you. I'll go through them very quickly. First of all, under hospitalized, we will pray for Ronnie Jollip, who has been hospitalized with issues related to high calcium levels. We're praying that the doctors would find some solutions for him. Also, we continue to pray for Esther Taylor. She is recovering from her recent hysterectomy surgery this past week, and all is going well for her at home. Thanks be to God. We will add to our list Wally Eichmeier, who is currently hospitalized as well with low red blood cell counts, and doctors are trying to determine the root cause of that. So we pray for wisdom for those doctors. We lift in prayer today under ongoing health, Manette Kramer, who recently has moved into a nursing facility. Also, Rich Baining, who's over here in the overflow room, is going to be having surgery on his back on Tuesday, so we'll be lifting him in prayer. And Rich and Aggie's son-in-law, Don Caves, is also currently hospitalized at Barnes, and he is receiving treatment for his leukemia. We give thanks and praise to God today for two baptisms which took place yesterday. Olivia Ann Grathwall and Ty Gregory Grathwall, the two babies, were baptized, cousins baptized on the same day over in New Minden at the new chapel that's been built over there. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remember the congregations of your church, O Lord, which you have purchased with the holy blood of your Son. Strengthen and defend all pastors and church workers, giving them every good gift as they attend to your people. Be especially with all of our partners in mission and ministry, including our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Nashville, and TSJ Lutheran School, and their pastor, David Benning. We also ask you to continue to be with Jeanette Baumgarn and her husband David as they both deliberate the ministry calls they have received from you through our congregation as well as Messiah and Carlisle. Lead them to a decision that is pleasing to you. We also continue to ask for your blessings upon Hannah Zernicke as she prepares for her upcoming move to Wausau, Wisconsin. Lord, in your mercy, remember us in a world convulsed by the wages of sin. Bring mercy and comfort and peace to those who have been affected by the severe weather that we received in our area over this past weekend. As we watch nations falter, remind us that our eternal citizenship is in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, who will subject all things to himself. As we watch our own bodies fail, remind us that Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Lord, in your mercy, remember the households of this congregation, O Lord. Provide help and companionship to those who live alone. Foster love between husbands and wives, parents and children, that our homes would not be places to worship ourselves, glory in our shame, or set our minds on earthly things, but a refuge while here, and a foretaste of our heavenly home. Bless all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Michael, Luann, Alfred, Shirley, Caitlin, and Lori. We also give you thanks and praise for the new life and holy baptism that you have granted to both Ty Gregory Grathwall and Olivia Ann Grathwall. Bless them and their families as they grow in their faith each and every day. Lord, in your mercy, remember our nation and those you have placed in authority, O Lord. Give them wisdom and integrity, and grant that neither they nor the citizens of our land would hinder your church or despise your call to repentance. Watch over and protect all of the members of the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy, remember the sick and the afflicted, O Lord, especially all who are on our prayer list this day, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We lift before you Esther as she recovers from her recent surgery. We ask you to be with those who are currently in the hospital, including Ronnie and Wally and Don. We ask you, Lord, to be with Rich as he faces his back surgery this coming Tuesday, that all would go well with him. And we lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Richard, Bob, Kurt, Don, Minette, Marvin, Amy, Francie, Eulene, Gina, Christy, Brent, Jackie, Henry, Nancy, Elaine, Robert, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Deliver them for the sake of Christ, who performed cures for many sick people he encountered on his way to the cross. Strengthen their faith to hold fast to him who rose again to raise them also. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 748, I'm But a Stranger Here.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you again to the Hand Chime Choir for playing. We really appreciate you. All right, I have a few announcements. This is a busy week. It's a busy time of the year. There's lots of things happening. So I'll narrow it down to three. First one is about our senior social, which is pretty soon. Like, as soon as we leave here, the senior social event today will be happening over in the school gymnasium. It is St. Patrick's Day themed. There's going to be corned beef and cabbage. And also, there's going to be Lucky Bingo being played, and that goes until 1 o'clock this afternoon. So I've already heard that it's very nicely decorated over there, so it should be nice and festive for the day. My second announcement is about our youth group, and the youth group actually has two events this week to pay attention to. Tonight, there is youth night starting at 6 p.m., so we hope our YPS and Club 58 members will come and join us tonight. But also, this is for everybody. The youth group is preparing for our national youth gathering coming up this summer in New Orleans, Louisiana. And so fundraising is always a big part of that. And there is an opportunity for you to support our youth group this week on Tuesday night. If you go to the Dairy Queen in Nashville from 5 to 9 p.m. and you let them know that you're there to support the Trinity Hoyleton Youth Group, then they will give a portion of your meal and donate it back to us. And so we got dinner covered for you on Tuesday. You don't have to think about it. Just head down to Nashville, tell them you're with us, and we really would appreciate that support. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is, of course, we continue our Lenten services, midweek services, and our Lenten meals on Wednesday. The meal begins at 5:15, and this week, the recipe that we will have before us is Jerry Schnicker's famous Mostaccioli, along with salad, garlic bread, and desserts. So you don't want to miss that. And then at 6:30 p.m. This week, our guest pastor, as part of the rotation, will be Pastor Brett Jones from Trinity in Hoffman. And I will be over at Trinity in Centralia this Wednesday. I would like to invite special guest, Mr. Don Dunsing, to come forward and give us a little short presentation about Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School.
All right, thank you, Pastor, and thank you for, got a little loud there. But thank you again for everybody for allowing me to be here very briefly with an update. Again, first off, thank you very much for your partnership in Christ Our Rock. From startup to standout, 20 years of celebration of Christian education. And we look back and go, how many years ago from a vision and a dream now to a reality. In your bulletin, you'll find a green sheet, and the green sheet has some information on it that if you need to, again, as I said during Bible study, some help getting sleep tonight, go ahead and read through it. But otherwise, sometimes it's easy to forget how much of a special places like Christ Our Rock or Hoyleton are in the world. So many other places. The conference I just attended, there are 109 Lutheran high schools throughout the world. You know how many of those have cornfields surrounding them? Most of those places are in much larger cities. And to have a place, we started the year with 107 students, and what a great blessing. And again, everyone should be able to attend schools like Hoyleton or Christ Our Rock, as we see a system of schools in the Lutheran Church from preschool all the way through a PhD program. We do have open enrollment throughout the course of the year. In fact, we just had a student start this past week, which was exciting for us. And we are that traditional high school. So in addition to our high marks in reading, the R's, the reading, writing, arithmetic. We also have agriculture, music, art classes, post-high school preparation, getting kids ready for the next step. What's coming after high school? Christian leadership class. What does a leader really look like? What should it look like? Not that everyone's going to be a president or a governor, but everyone has to know what they believe and why they believe it and stand up for it and be able to be leaders in their homes and also in their churches as well. Now, on the back sheet, there's a little more information on that green sheet when it comes to thanking you again for your support. First, we cover your prayers. Thank you very much for that. Crescent Rock doesn't survive with everyone's support. The financial support also we appreciate, and sometimes people aren't familiar with how that works. Our tuition this year for incoming freshmen was $7,685, and yes, that's a big number. Every association student gets automatically $1,000. Financial need is available for everyone. We have a lot of donors who are very supportive. We don't want anyone to say, well, I can't afford it. No, Crescent Rock should be a place for everyone. And we're able to do that. I'm finishing 14 years now, and we have not turned away anybody in my time for financial reasons. We'll find a way to make it work. Our budget is $1.2 million. That's a big number. The association, all the association congregations, you can see there, they provide $85,000 in support, which is greatly appreciated. As we said, each association member, student, gets $1,000, so a little more than half of that money goes back in tuition support for those students. And that's why we have the Reverend Miller Mentor Grant, which sits on top of that, because some students need some additional support. And these are individual funds that are donated to the high school to be able to provide assistance for those who aren't able to attend. So if you know anybody saying, hey, we can't attend, we can find a way to make it work. In addition, other ways to help, 365 Club, a dollar a day. Those are the ones that really make me smile when I open the envelope and seeing those come in for $30 or $35, you know, that support financially. And again, we thank you for that. And we wouldn't survive without the volunteer support. Same way Hoyleton wouldn't survive without all the volunteers. Again, there are many ways. And if you want to find out more, I'll be around to answer. Again, this was just, I wanted to thank you, give a brief update, but also make sure you get invited to the VIG Day. It's in your bulletin. This is the day you don't have to be a grandparent. You don't have to have a student attending. Parents are welcome to this as well. This is a day to come out, get a brief update on the school, attend chapel with the students. Students, every morning we meet in the gym at 8 o'clock. We have devotions or chapel. And then the students then all have a religion class or Bible class then throughout the day as well. So you get a chance to understand what goes on in the day, be able to hear some information. And then our own Sizzling Stallions will be making some pulled pork and some other sides to go with it. It is a free meal. So come out. Also have some ice cream sundaes to go with that and be able to spend some time with your grandchildren, adoptive grandchildren as well. So we tell our students, if you don't have a grandparent coming, go join another student's grandparents and have some fun. Some neat memories be made. Again, I thank you very much for your support. If you have additional questions, happy to be in the back. There's also in the back what's called our profile, which is much has a whole lot more information. It's there by the bulletins. And also, if you don't get a copy of their perspective, that's also in the back. Again, thank you very much. All that hearing about the foods all around here has made me hungry, so I need to get going too. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dunsing. Are there any other announcements today? All right. Well, have a blessed week in the Lord. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us for church today. Have a blessed week.